What I thought and planned for us to cover was, since we had just completed in Acts chapter 15, James's speak before the congregation in Jerusalem, where he quoted Amos, and to which was God's prophecy through Amos to let the Jews know, they should have known for hundreds of years, that God was going to allow the Gentiles to enter his kingdom. And so James used that passage from Amos to help prove this point, that they were not, God never intended from the beginning to require the Gentiles to become Jews or follow the law of Moses in order to enter his kingdom. That was all the point of contention here. So, but then in Acts 15, verse 15, James mentioned to the congregation that there were prophets, plural, more than one prophet, that had prophesied that God's plan was always to allow the Gentiles to enter the kingdom without becoming Jews or Jewish proselytes, and which now James didn't expound on that anymore, but Kaufman mentioned, he said, just pay attention and notice that James said, use the plural of prophets instead of the singular, because there were more than one, more than just Amos. But then, usually, Kaufman would write an article then and expound on that sentence to go over the various other prophets of that topic. But he did not. He just moved right on for whatever reason. So I used, got on Google's AI, and through various back and forth questions, it ended up being 8 pages. But I only plan on covering maybe about half of that today. But the this article is about the Old Testament prophets that prophesied about the Gentiles being accepted into God's kingdom. And the AI started out as with, several Old Testament prophets, most notably Isaiah, foresaw the inclusion of Gentiles into God's plan of salvation, shifting from an exclusive focus on Israel to a global covenant. Isaiah, Zechariah, and others prophesied that Gentiles would turn to the God of Israel. Key prophets in their prophecies regarding the Gentiles include, and AI initially listed 7. It ultimately ends and expounds on more than this 7, but initially it came up with these 7. Isaiah, Zechariah, Jonah, Malachi, Jeremiah, Hosea, and Joel. Now, if I didn't have any help with an article like this, I would have, in passages that we've already gone over and know about, I would have come up with our basic 4 passages that point to God's kingdom, and from the Old Testament, and which is Isaiah 2, and we covered, it makes it clear and plain that God always intended that the Gentiles would come in. But there's Isaiah 2, and then Joel 2, and we definitely know about that one because Peter even quotes that on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, and so we could have easily have come up with Joel. And then Micah 4 would be the third passage, and Micah also talked about that the Gentiles or all of the nations all over the earth would come to God's kingdom. And so the other passage that we throw in as far as Timothy, as far as I know, unless he borrowed it from someone else, came up with these 4 passages that point to Acts 2, which is Isaiah 2, Daniel 2, Joel 2, and Micah 4 all point to Acts 2. Now, All three of those other, three of the four talk about the Gentiles coming into God's kingdom. The only one that did not was Daniel, and he just stated that God would establish a kingdom in the days of what he said, these kings, but he was talking about this fourth kingdom from the kingdom of Babylon. So three kingdoms after that, that there God would establish his kingdom that would never be destroyed. Daniel just did not mention about Gentiles being accepted into that, but these other three prophets did. And so we could have come up with that, but I was glad that AI was able to expound even further than that, so we get a better understanding of this passage and what Amos prophesied about, and expounds even more on James's thought here. But now on each of these initial seven prophets, AI said about Isaiah, he is often called the prophet to the Gentiles. He prophesied that the Gentile nations would come to the light of God, that salvation would reach the ends of the earth, and that some Gentiles would be chosen as priests. And Zechariah saw a future where many nations shall be joined to the Lord and become his people. Jonah was specifically sent by God to preach repentance to the Gentile city of Nineveh, highlighting God's mercy extending beyond Israel. And now, we could also easily been able to identify Jonah as one of these prophets. Now, we know that Jonah did not want to go and evangelize and call to repentance the Gentiles, who they saw as unclean and unworthy of God's salvation. But after the well-known life-changing, traumatic experience that God put Jonah through, then he correctly decided that he better go to Nineveh and preach repentance and warn the Ninevites that they better repent, otherwise God's would destroy them in 3 days, which, to their credit, they repented, and God did not destroy them until it was about 120 years later. That's when they had once again fallen away. There's no record that God sent another prophet to them. He may have, and they rejected it, maybe. We just don't have any record. All we do know is they had reverted over this 120-year period, reverted back into the paganism and no longer were repentant to God. And so that's the point that God had the Babylonian Empire come in and annihilate the Assyrian Empire, of which Nineveh was the capital of. Okay, so that was Jonah. Now Malachi. He prophesied that God's name would be great among the Gentiles from the rising to the setting of the sun, meaning all over the earth. That the Gentiles would be allowed into his kingdom. About Jeremiah, he spoke of a time when Gentile nations would come to the true God. Hosea was used by Paul in Romans 9, verses 24 through 26, to describe the calling of the Gentiles into God's family. I was glad that AI identified this with Romans 9. Kaufman has also, I don't believe I've ever mentioned that, but as we've gone through all of these books and chapters that I've covered with Kaufman, he has brought up Romans 9, I'm going to say more than any other chapter in reference. And it's been time and time again, maybe 10, 15, 20 times as I've been reading, and I've overlooked it, but he would always mention, he would say, If you want more of an expounding about what Paul wrote about, and more an expounding what God intended for the Gentiles to be entered into his kingdom, then he would say, go to my commentary in Romans chapter 9, and I expound greatly on this topic. So I think at some point in time we need to cover this Romans 9, and I've not even read it. I've not even gone to see what all he has done. But obviously here with AI even bringing this out, we need to, at some point, address and look into Romans 9. And then this initial last prophet, Joel, prophesied that God would pour out his spirit on all people, which Peter later connected to the inclusion of Gentiles in Acts 10. Now, in the AI, it stated this exactly correctly, which I was glad about and really surprised, because Peter did not make this connection immediately. It took all the way to Acts 10, and then God had to send him three visions, plus Cornelius's servants there to connect with the vision of what was going on, that God was, at that point, ready to accept the Gentiles into his kingdom, which then, only then, and at that point, that Peter quickly made the connections and then Cornelius and his household became Christians, were baptized and became Christians. So, but that was the correct wording. Peter later, he didn't connect that in Acts 2. Kaufman's comment on that is, or was, either Peter forgot what he had told the devout Jews in Acts 2, or he didn't understand it. I'm going to say there is no way he forgot what he said. To me, it is obvious that he did not understand at that point that God meant that he was going to allow the Gentiles to enter his kingdom. So, but anyway, he made the connection later, which may be about 8 years. We could do a round number of 10 years for Acts 10, but it is probably closer, somewhere 5 to 8. It might be more realistic. But anyway, if just in our minds, if we just remember maybe 10 years after the establishment of God's kingdom from Acts 2, that then God allowed and was ready for the Gentiles to enter into his kingdom. And then to finish up this initial essay that AI kicked out is, these prophets, including Nahum and Obadiah, who were also directed to speak to Gentile nations, foretold a time when Gentile believers would be on equal footing within God's kingdom. Okay, now, if we notice, it did not come up and did not mention Amos in this initial question that I had asked the AI program. So I ask it again, or I ask about Amos the first time. So I typed in, what about Amos? And it wrote a real good reply. I don't know why it didn't include Amos to begin with. But anyway, it said, Amos is actually one of the most critical prophets regarding this topic because his words were used to settle the debate in Acts 15. While much of the book of Amos focuses on judgment, it concludes with a vision of restoration that specifically includes non-Israelites. And then the phrase that Amos prophesied about that also James quoted from Amos about the fallen tabernacle of David, Amos prophesied that God would rebuild the fallen tabernacle of David. The purpose of this restoration was so that his people could possess the rest of mankind and all the nations who are called by his name. And now about the Jerusalem Council, this prophecy became the smoking gun for James at the meeting in Jerusalem. He cited Amos 9, verses 11 and 12 that he quoted to prove that God always intended for the Gentiles to seek him. James quoted the Septuagint, or the Greek translation of Amos, which renders remnant of Edom as remnant of mankind. This translation made it even clearer that God's restoration was about reaching all of humanity, not just conquering a nearby nation. Essentially, Amos's prophecy provided the scriptural backing for the Lord's body to accept Gentiles without requiring them to become Jewish first through circumcision. So this is a good stopping point. I think we will end there, and Lord willing, we will continue next week with this article that it kicked out about the Gentiles being accepted into God's kingdom without being required or forced to become Jewish proselytes and follow the law of Moses, as these Pharisees were trying to force upon these Gentiles. So we will end there. And